Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the studios of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network in San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide 40 Years, your inside look into the world of boxing. Straight up, this was the original podcast. Of course, we broke in on the internet when the internet was young back in 1992. That long ago, I never forget, they told me, hey, you're going to be on the internet next week. I said, huh? And then, of course, I did some research on it. It was supposed to be like 9 computers that were controlling the entire world. But like, obviously, there's more than 9 now. But straight up, 160 countries around the world, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Straight up, of course, we're spending a lot of time today on the celebration of life. I'm talking about George Foreman, the former heavyweight champion of the world, former two-time world heavyweight champion, former Olympic gold medalist, former San Francisco Golden Glove champion. When I say that, I say it proudly because he and I both won the San Francisco Golden Gloves together. In fact, when I did a television, I televised one of his cards and one of his fights with J.B. Williamson. That was back in May of 1989 on FNN Sports TV. Of course, that was my national TV debut. But straight up, George made me look like a king. He made me look like a star. I mean, the interview went viral all around the world because he told me before we went on, he goes, we got to do this good. We got to do this good. I said, okay, we'll do it good. And we were into it. He said, you got to bring up Tyson and people like that. That's okay. So when I brought up Tyson, and you'll hear the interview, he called them bums and holy. He had a great time. Anyway, he had the arena going. Of course, this was the Moody Center, I believe, in Galveston, Texas. One of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. I'm not kidding you. It was beautiful. I mean, the beach was right there. We looked out the window of the hotel. It was just outstanding, stunning view. But more importantly, it was a comeback. Of course, he was one of the icons of boxing. Of course, he started here in San Francisco, won the San Francisco Golden Gloves back in 1968. He was fighting out of Newark, California, not Newark, New Jersey, Newark, California. The Job Corps was there, and he got into boxing through the Job Corps. He was a rough guy beating people up, so I said, hey, why don't you try boxing? Guess what? George found it, and that was the end, of course. And then that was the end of George being just like a guy on the street. He was a boxer. But then after that, he had a metamorphosis back in 1977, of course, when he saw God. We'll talk about that and more with Larry Merchant and a whole lot of people today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. We come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The impeccable one is in the house. What could go wrong? Take it away, young man.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Here, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt. Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory eight count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. First round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
Wow, let's go back in time. January 22nd, 1973, Kingston, Jamaica. Of course, Don King was lit up by some Muslims or something like that. There was something going on in the crowd there, but Don King got his ass kicked. I remember he was all stitched up, his face was swollen, things like that. Said he was mugged, but it wasn't a mugging, it was intentional. Somebody wanted to get him back on something, and I was told it was a couple of Muslims. So straight up, that's the story for another day. But of course, he fought, George Foreman fought Joe Frazier that day, and of course Joe Frazier coming off the win over Muhammad Ali. There was supposed to be a rematch after the March 8th, 1971 Super Fight, per se, at Madison Square Garden, of course, when Muhammad Ali was defeated, knocked down in the 15th round, hurt badly in the 11th round, but by Joe Frazier, and that left hook, or the underrated left hook going in, but straight up, it wasn't underrated afterwards. Obviously, Joe Frazier winning a 15-round unanimous decision there, and capturing the world heavyweight title. Now, he had a chance to make umpteen millions of dollars in a rematch, but he wouldn't take the rematch because He didn't like Muhammad Ali. He didn't like the fact that Ali was dogging him and things like that, and he used all kinds of hype to build up the fight. I mean, without Ali building up that fight, the fight wouldn't have made nearly as much money. Joe wouldn't have made nearly as much money as he did. He had to realize that was part of the promotion of the fight, but Joe didn't look at it that way. Joe looked at it as total disrespect, and you didn't disrespect Joe Frazier. I mean, Joe, you just didn't. Anyway, bottom line is, Joe wouldn't do the rematch. So they said, I think it was Jack Kent Cook, the guy that owned the L.A. Lakers. He wanted to offer him like $10 or $15 million. He wouldn't take it. I think they made $2 million the first time. He wanted to offer him like $10 million, and Joe wouldn't take it. Joe was it was a matter of principle. Joe, he had to get more money than Ali, and he had to call the shots, and he couldn't do either, and he didn't want to. So the bottom line is, he went on and fought George Foreman instead and got destroyed, of course, in a couple of rounds. It was a pretty mismatch. I mean, from the get-go, Joe Frazier, I guess, was in the fight during the referee's instructions, but after that, it was all George Foreman. Of course, that began the career of George Foreman. Of course, but I told you the career really began back here in 1968 when he won the Golden Gloves, and of course, then the Olympic gold medal. But afterwards, you know, he became heavyweight champion. He would lose the title to Muhammad Ali in 1974, of course, just a year later. Of course, that was a big upset, the Rumble in the Jungle, when Don King convinced President Mobutu of then known as Zaire, the country then known as Zaire, now it's known as the Congo, I believe. But he convinced President Mobutu that he could change the jungle into the next French Riviera. He could make the jungles of Africa, he could turn it into the next Las Vegas. That's what Don King convinced President Mobutu of Zaire. Zaire was a country at that point in time. And he convinced him of that. So I think Mobutu put up $6 million for the fight. So George Foreman and Ali fight, of course, the rope-a-dope fight and that kind of good stuff. But at the end of 8 rounds, George Foreman was defeated and no longer the world heavyweight champion. Of course, he had a couple fights afterwards, and they weren't big fights per se. I mean, he fought Jimmy Young, and I think he fought Ron Lyle. There was some rough fights for him afterwards, but it didn't seem like George just had it anymore. George just didn't. I mean, he seemed like he lacked desire. I mean, that one loss really, really, really took a lot out of him, okay? He had the fight, I think, in 1978 with Jimmy Young. And it was 1977 when Jimmy Young, and he ended up losing a unanimous decision in 12 rounds. He said he saw God in that fight. And I can sort of relate to that, because one time I fought Tony Barnett in the street for 27 minutes. How do I know it was 27 minutes? Because Adelina Quesada timed it. She was watching a novella, and she looked out the window at the beginning of the novella, and we weren't done fighting until the novella was over. So she said it was 27 minutes. She timed it. She was a police dispatcher for the SAPD. Anyway, bottom line is, after that fight with Tony, I was hyperventilating. I was doing the dry heaves, the whole nine yards. I mean, I thought that was the closest I ever felt to death. I mean, I thought I was going to die. Had I done things a little bit differently, they probably would have called 911 and taken me to the hospital, because I wasn't beaten up. I was just extended. And that's basically what George Foreman was against Jimmy Young. Extended, slightly beaten up. Of course, fight took place in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But what George said was that he saw God. And you know what? I don't believe, you know, when people pull that God crap on me, I say to myself, man, come on, you're a phony, come on. Well, guess what? George wasn't a phony. He was for real. So I thought it was a hustle just to make money. I mean, come on, religion's the biggest hustle in the world. You get people to give you money, you don't have to pay taxes on it, hold on. Bottom line is, George starts a little church down there in Houston, Texas. And he builds this church up. And at the same time, he says, you know what? I think I'm going to come back and do some more boxing. So he comes back in Sacramento, California, of all places, the old Arco Arena house that Tony Lopez sold out more than a couple of times. Anyway, he takes on a guy by the name of Steve Zalski. Steve Zalski couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. He was a nice guy. He weighed 212 pounds. That's about the most I can say about him. Bottom line is, George knocked him out in 4 rounds. That was the comeback, of course, of George Foreman. He fought a bunch of stiffs after that. Tim Anderson, probably one of the best guys I ever fought, but Tim Anderson went to jail for killing that promoter Rick Parker down there in Florida. Of course, Rick Parker was the guy that fixed Mark Gastineau's fights. Mark Gastineau was a former New York Jets lineman in the NFL. He turned pro as a fighter, and of course, Parker fixed all his fights. One of the fights he fixed was with Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson took a dive against Gastineau, and then he came back later and he killed Parker for some, I don't know, payback, something like. Bottom line is, George kept rolling. After Tim Anderson was a guy named Rocky Swarkorski, Tim Trim, I mean, a lot of hobos. Then he came up with Dwight Quali Muhammad, a former light heavyweight champion, stopped him in 7 rounds, of course. And then people like Carlos Hernandez, I mean, no names, Bobby Hitz. I'm sorry, Bobby. Bobby's a promoter right now, so I don't want to give him too much of a drag there, but Bobby's still promoting. Tony Fulajami, Dave Jaco, who I still talk to once in a while, and of course, he's been on the show in the past, but Dave Jaco fought, I think, 3-4 former world heavyweight champions. Didn't beat him, but he fought him. Bottom line is, Dave Jaco succumbed in 1 round to Big George Foreman. Of course, course, then Mark Young, and then, of course, the fight that I took part in 1989, George Foreman and I, of course, I was called to do this fight on FNN Sports. I think it was Arnie Rosenthal called me on the phone, and he said to me, listen, I've got this fight for you in Houston, Texas. I said, well, who is it? He goes, George Foreman. I go, really? He goes, yeah. And I had just retired, walked away from the San Francisco Police Department. Remember the police department was saying, the personnel guy says to me, you got a year to come back, kid. I'll see you in a couple of months. Yeah, right, right. Anyway, I never looked back. So anyway, right after the walking away from the police department, less than 2 weeks later, I'm doing my national television debut doing on FNN Sports TV. Of course, that was Financial News Network. On the weekends, they did sports. In fact, they did better numbers with their sports than they did with their stock market type stuff. But the bottom line was, I went to Galveston, Texas. We did this fight with George Foreman, and it was a pretty memorable event. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he took on J.B. Williamson, a former light heavyweight champion. J.B. was a, J.B. was going to lose. There was no doubt about it. J.B. had two chances, slim and none, and Slip wasn't even in the same state, let alone the same town. What I'm trying to tell you is that it was a one-sided fight. George won, of course, at the end of the fight. We'll play the interview in a couple of minutes. But at the end of the fight, George said to me in the ring, he said, you know, we've got to make this interview real good. We've got to make this interview real, real good. And I said, okay. We've got to make it. So it was a little pressure on me to do the interview right. And, of course, we did the interview, and it went viral afterwards. It was, like, on SportsCenter and all these different TV shows. In fact, my mother left a couple of machines, a message on my answering machine. We saw you on ESPN tonight. Good old mom calling me from, I'm in Texas. She's calling my answering machine down there in South City saying, we saw you on TV. Now, anyway, bottom line is, it was a great night, no doubt about it. Of course, the celebration of George Foreman continues. Larry Merchant on the other side of the break here on Sports Byline.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-944-
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for it?
One postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
He's back. The retired HBO Godfather's on the line from Santa Monica, California. Good morning, Larry Merchant.
Good morning, Pedro Fernandez.
How's life treating you, Godfather?
Well, pretty good for an old guy.
Okay, for an old guy. Speaking of old guys, one of our buddies passed away this weekend, of course, George Foreman. I don't know if I told you this, Larry, but he and I won the Golden Gloves together. He won the San Francisco Golden Gloves back in 1968. I won it in 82, 83, 84, and 86. But the bottom line is, I remember when I met him in Texas, I was a televised fight back in 1989. He said to me, he goes, "You're from San Francisco?" "Yeah, I won the Golden Gloves there." He goes, "Really?" Anyway, that sort of bonded the two of us back together, because when he was coming up, when I watched him in the gym, spar guys here at Newman's Gym, you know, after the Golden Gloves and the Olympic gold medalist thing, he was the most horrible person you could ever be around. He made Sonny Liston seem like Cinderella. I mean, he was just mean, gruff. He'd spit on the floor. He was a nasty man. And then the transformation in 1977, he said, after the Jimmy Young fight, I mean, it was a complete metamorphosis, Godfather. He really changed. God, George Foreman was really a different person.
You are correct, sir. I don't know many people who have changed so dramatically in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, whoa. I mean, you know, I remember he told me one time, he goes, and I asked him, I said, "What was up with that? You know, with Newman's Gym when you would scowl at people and this thing?" He goes, "Well, it worked for Sonny Liston." And I said, "Huh?"
Well, I think that Sonny Liston was an idol of his when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Liston always was presented scowling and looking at you with his mean eyes, and that worked for him in the ring, and it was who he presented himself outside the ring.
You know, the people that knew him in Las Vegas, Johnny Taco ran the gym and was one of his last trainers before he died. He told me there was two different Sonny Listons. There was a Sonny Liston when he was drunk, and there was a Sonny Liston when he was sober. He said, "God forbid you should encounter the Sonny Liston when he was drunk."
Well, I knew George for a long time, and I never saw him drunk.
No, not George, Sonny Liston.
Oh, Liston.
Liston. George.
Yeah, I think Liston, you know, Liston was just a son of the bad old South.
Uh-huh.
But George came from the South too, the South Texas, Houston. But he presented himself as that scowling, mean guy in and out of the ring, and it worked for him for a while too, but it wasn't who he was completely, as we would find out.
You know, I mean, he was so menacing in the gym. He was menacing. I mean, that's just the word I would use. There was a 15 or a 16-foot ring, a little small ring they had in Newman's Gym upstairs. There was a big one, but he used a small one. And he used to pound on guys like my you and me. I mean, he was pounding on little tiny guys. He was a stone-cold bully. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was like the most feared man on the planet. I kid you not. Before he was heavyweight champ, we were scared to death of him. And then he became heavyweight champ. Of course, then his legend was sort of taken away a little bit by Muhammad Ali in Africa. But outside of that, coming back and winning the title again, of course, fighting Holyfield the first time in 1991. That didn't go too well. I think that was in Atlantic City, New Jersey. You called that fight.
Right.
And you called that fight, right? And then, of course, he came back and fought Michael Moore. Was that an HBO fight, too, the Michael Moore fight?
Yes.
Man, that's amazing. Hey, you know, HBO, the comeback of George Foreman, the knockout of Mike Tyson, HBO Sports had some really special moments, Godfather. And I'm not blowing your horn because you're here, but it just did.
Yeah, well, for over a decade, we carried virtually every championship fight in boxing that mattered.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, anyway, Jim Lampley's back behind the mic. Somebody told me he's doing some work, and he seems to be somewhat content. We wish him the very best of luck in his future. When you think of George Foreman and the grill thing, I'll never forget the grill thing, because when the grill thing first came out, I was talking with Roy Foreman, his brother, and he said to me, this is where I'll never forget what he said, Pedro, it's just a piece of metal with a cord on it. Yeah, well, that's what he told me. Pedro, it's just a piece of metal with a cord on it. Anyway, that piece of metal with a cord on it, how much did he get him? $145
million? I don't know. I don't count other people's money. But
you were the one that told me the figure of a couple years ago. I was like aghast at the figure. You're the one that told me like he made like $125, $140 million, something like that. Good Lord, that was, you know, a lot of money for a piece of metal with a cord on it.
Well, it's a lot of money, but they sold a lot of units. And
do you have one? I have one, Godfather. Do you have one?
No, I think I had one, but I'm not sure I still have it.
Okay.
But it was a thing. Kids in college wanted to have it in their dorms. And George presented himself as a pitch man. It was almost like he was going... He suddenly was going to graduate school.
Yeah.
And it was being an adult and this likable guy and heavyweight champion. And that was an amazing thing in his life.
Your Godfather,
ours.
Because I had watched so much of him locally growing up and this and that, and seen him a couple times as a pro, I said to myself, I thought it was all an act. I said to myself, this guy's pulling off an Academy Award act. I mean, this is all a front to make money and get people to donate money to his church. I don't use the God word too often, but I guess God bless him, George Foreman. I mean, he really went on the right. He's treated a lot of kids well, spent a lot of money on kids down there around the holidays. He fed kids in the Houston area. I mean, you can't say enough positive things about George, but it still blows me away that he was such a polar opposite, the 180-degree turn.
Yep, and everybody, he made everybody smile, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Everybody except most of his opponents, because he was a big, menacing guy. But maybe that new George Foreman, which came when he was, I believe, in his 30s,
yeah,
enhanced his career, and he had a huge family and came from the Houston... He was a bad kid. He was in jail. He got married five times. What do you have? 11 kids?
11 kids, and they're all named Larry. No. I think they're all named George. I think.
Well, at least many of them were. So he had an amazing life.
Godfather, I'm looking at the November 30th, 1997 edition of Flash Magazine, Boxing Update Flash Magazine. Says there, Foreman done after heist. George Foreman is done, or so he said. I had a wonderful career. This is my last fight, said Foreman, who announced his retirement after losing his linear claim to the heavyweight title on a highly questionable decision to Shannon Briggs. Was that the boxing establishment screwing George Foreman? Because that was a bad decision.
You know something? I don't remember that fight, so I can't offer an opinion. But,
okay.
You know, sometimes you win them and sometimes you lose them in those close decisions.
You mean like...
So
me?
I have no,
Godfather,
no opinion on that.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You mean like that guy who was following me the other day?
I'm sorry, who
I like when I was about? I told you I was doing the PR thing the other day, and I'm following some guy, and all of a sudden he's following me. And you said to me, even the best hitters strike out once in a while. That was, I didn't know. Oh, man. Imagine that, Godfather. You're following somebody under surveillance, and you look in your rear mirror, and he's behind you somehow.
Well, you're a version of George Foreman, you know. You've changed. Tell me, what gym were you in with Foreman?
Was Newman's gym. Billy Newman ran a gym. Newman Herman's gym was the 312 Leavenworth here in San Francisco. It was opened in 1920-something. It was the oldest gym.
Why was he in San Francisco?
Because he was in Newark, California, which is near Oakland, or which is near Hayward, California, and that's where they had the Job Corps. He was part of the U.S. Job Corps.
I see. Something I always wanted to ask you, that I forget what you told me. Did you turn pro?
No, I didn't. I had 52 amateur fights. That was enough.
Okay.
And here's what's up. I will say this, though. I quit the police department on May 2nd, 1989, and I had my national television debut 2 weeks later. Here's what the personnel sergeant told me. The guy that swore me in the police department, I turned to my badge to him. I said, no, I'm done. He said to me, he goes, you got a year, kid. We'll see you in a couple of months. I never looked back.
You didn't like police work?
No, I just didn't look back. It was easier for me to travel the world and write about boxing. I made a few bucks, and I got to go to 34 countries.
Well, okay. So you had a graduate degree in boxing. That was a little bit different than George's, but so it goes.
Yeah. Anyway, Godfather, I wish you the best. Have a good week. I will see you Wednesday.
I will see you Wednesday as well.
The retired HBO Godfather appearing exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Hall of Famer Larry Merchant.
I'm an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
So 2 weeks after I leave the police department, right, the cops are watching on TV, FNN Sports, because it was a free channel, right? So they're saying, let's watch them, let's watch them. So they watch me, and I do the same with Foreman. Obviously, I did pretty well. I'm not going to go back to the police department. They were blown away by it. They knew right then and there when I made my national television debut, 2 weeks after telling the police department that one, they basically said, I guess he's for real. Anyway, back to George Foreman. Atlantic City, Jack Obermeyer, K-O-J-O, that's what they called him, Jack Obermeyer. Of course, he died about 4 or 5 years ago. He was a reporter with he's been around. He was around for like 35 or 40 years. He was with Flash Gordon's Boxing Guide, all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, bottom line is Jack Obermeyer was writing a ringside report November 22nd in Atlantic City, New Jersey, of course, for Flash Magazine. Of course, that was the boxing trade paper. And that allowed me to write to the other boxing reporters. So I wrote for other boxing writers. That's who I wrote for. When I was writing in these boxing trade papers, I was writing for other reporters and Don King and promoters. I mean, people were like, everybody read this little rag here. It was called Flash Magazine. So it was the boxing trade paper. Anyway, so Big George Foreman said he's done, or so he said. I had a wonderful career. This is my last fight, said Foreman, who announced his retirement after losing his linear claim to the World Heavyweight Championship on a highly questionable majority decision, meaning one judge had it even, to Shannon Briggs after 12 rounds to the Trump Taj Mahal. The official verdict was widely booed by the 5,200 spectators in attendance, according to George Foreman. They quote, they said Shannon Briggs won this fight. Good luck to him. If I had to do it again, I probably would have thrown more punches, said Foreman, reportedly earning $5 million for his effort. I planned win, lose, or draw to bring my career to an end. The days of winning, the days of a whining athlete, I think he said winning athlete, but it says whining athlete, have come to an end. How can a guy say I've been robbed when I'm walking away with $1 million? I'm not bitter about anything, said Foreman, who made over $100 million since returning to the ring in 1987, of course, with that fight in Sacramento, California, with Steve Zuski. Briggs earned $400,000. Of course, Shannon Briggs, a bit of a farce after that, but the bottom line is that was George Foreman. Now, I take you back to 1989, that memorable month, May of 1989, telling the police department to go stuff it up their butt. They couldn't believe. They said, listen, man, you're walking away from this career. You're out of your mind. I said, no, man, I'm done. I got hurt. You guys don't want to help me. I mean, you guys want to give me pain pills? I don't want to take pain pills for the rest of my life. I'm out of here. Anyway, so that's why I left the police department. They wanted to give me pain pills for falling through a roof instead of, like, addressing the medical issues. Anyway, therefore, I'm off to Galveston, Texas. We take a car to go. We rent a car in Houston, I think, and drive to Galveston. Of course, it was a short drive, and we get there, and we get to the Moody Center. Of course, Hugh Millay was my broadcast partner, and George Foreman and I touched base a little bit before the fight at a pre-fight meeting. And, of course, we talked about winning the Golden Gloves in San Francisco and the Olympic gold medal. And he said the Olympic gold medal was more important to him than anything he'd ever done in his entire life. That included the conversion to God, the church, the money, the $200 million, all that stuff. None of it meant nearly as much as winning that Olympic gold medal back in 1968. Of course, he was waving the flag around. And that wasn't the George Foreman that I knew, because the George Foreman that we read about in the Examiner and that we saw at the gym was a menacing guy. I talked about that. He was like, I mean, you are scared just being around the guy. There's no doubt about it. Anyway, back to 1989. We get into Galveston, Texas. We're ready to do the fight at the Moody Center. The Moody Center is pretty packed. I guess it was about 6,000, 7,000 people in the house. We're ready pro-George Foreman fans, this and that. Of course, then they announced the fight, George Foreman and J.B. Williamson. And J.B., as I said earlier, had no chance whatsoever. Anyway, the fight goes 4 or 5 rounds. They stop the fight. At the end of the fight, George says, let's do this good. Got to mention Tyson. So we mentioned Tyson. He said, let's do this good. What are we talking about? This is what we're talking about.
Boxing fans, the time, 1 minute. 37 seconds of the fifth round. Referee Chris Jordan calls a halt to this contest. The winner by technical knockout for his 61st win in 63 pro bouts. On his way to another world title, Reverend George Foreman. One more time for J.B. Williamson, ladies and gentlemen. Former light heavyweight champion of the world.
JB showing a little spring in his step, even after that pounding. We're going to send you up inside the ring right now with Pedro Fernandez and the victorious George Foreman, win number 61.
How do you feel, George?
I feel really good. It gets kind of boring after a while, all these guys get in the ring with you, and they ask for so much money, and all they do is run from you. That's a photo of what you're going to look for in the future, Mike Tyson running from George Foreman in the same fashion. I guarantee you, if Mike Tyson does not run from me in the same fashion, I'll eat my hat.
You'll eat your hat. Yeah. What about Tyrell Biggs? They talk about you fighting him. They said there'll be an offer on the table for that fight.
Yeah, I think I like that fight. Tyrell Biggs, a wonderful fella. And in him, the people will get a chance to see another bigger man run. Okay. And all these fellas train to run. And it's a shame because people pay expensive tickets to see these fellas fight. And all they do is run.
So if we want to see a track meet, we'll go watch Carl Lewis.
That's right. I'm dissatisfied with these fellas fighting on television, running like jackrabbits. I want Mike Tyson, and I dare him. I tell him he better not run from me. Because I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
You're good enough.
I mean it.
George, when will you fight again?
Huh?
When will you fight again?
I hope to be fighting again by the 1st of June.
We want Tyson!
Well,
the crowd yelling, we want Tyson.
Come on,
George
we
wants Tyson.
Want Tyson.
Right now,
we
I want you. Let's go back to you, LA ringside.
It's turning to bedlam here at the Moody Center as George Foreman pretty much putting it on the table. The crowd loving it.
Of course, that was Hugh Millay, my broadcast partner. We were doing that on FNN Sports. And I got my dates wrong. Get this. This was April 30th, 1989. So what I came back was I came back and told the police where they could stuff their hat. That's what I did. Was I went to Texas. I did my thing on national TV. I did real well. Everybody said, man, I was blown away by my performance and this and that. So when I came back, I had the nuts to tell the police department where to go. I didn't want to do it anymore. I just didn't. I mean, once you get hurt as a cop, once something happens to you physically, I mean, you really get seriously hurt, and you watch maybe your life flash in front of you when I fell through that roof, okay? The bottom line is, you really don't have the zeal for it anymore. And the police department, of course, their answer to everything to me was more pills. They gave me pain pills. I had, like, jars of pain pills at home that I never took. I smoked weed the entire time. I mean, and if you try to tell them you were smoking weed back then, it was like, you're going to jail almost. I kid you not. So the bottom line is, the police department left me with no choice but to quit. What can I say? I didn't show my middle finger to him, but I probably should have as walking out the door. Straight up, we're talking George Foreman, of course, the world heavyweight champion, 2-time world heavyweight champion, knocking out Michael Moore. And you know what Michael, and Pekka won, you know what Michael Moore is famous for? Getting knocked out by an old man. I mean, you get knocked out by a 45-year-old man, you're in your prime. I mean, he never lived it down. I mean, he had mental issues, breakdowns in public, all those kind of good psychological breakdowns. He was a gun freak, Michael Moore. In fact, Michael Moore was an explosive specialist. What I mean by that is he didn't have any military training, but when he was staying at the Kronk Gym in Detroit, he built a bomb in his room. Of course, there was all these rooms there for fighters in Emanuel Stewart's house. Anyway, he built a bomb, and he took it outside and put it on the fence. He blew the fence off the wall. I mean, the fence was like destroyed. I kid you not. So that was Michael Moore. So that's what Michael Moore is famous for, getting knocked out by an old man and making bombs. Straight up, that's it. Of course, Michael Moore, I haven't heard too much of him lately. George Foreman passed away this past Friday. Of course, we weren't going to go over that in depth. I mean, people asked me, what did he die from? Well, it really doesn't matter what he died from. He's passed on, so we wish him the very best. As a professional fighter, he was 76-5. Of course, one stop in 1974, of course, against Muhammad Ali. That was in Zaire, Africa. Of course, I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but what's funny about the Zaire thing is that I think Ali got cut before the fight. About a month before the fight was originally started, was slated to take place, I think, in August or September of 1974. Anyway, because one of these guys got cut, the fight was put on hold. So George Foreman went to the airport thinking he could leave Zaire, Africa, and Mobutu surrounded his plane with machine guns and tanks and all that kind of stuff. So George wasn't going anywhere. George had to go back into training, of course, and then he would lose the heavyweight championship world in October 1974 to Muhammad Ali on an eighth-round knockout. Of course, Ali's comeback, people said it couldn't be done. He was old. He was slow. He was fighting a younger man. He was fighting a stronger man. He was fighting a guy that hit harder than him. Well, all that didn't matter. Maybe it did, though, because at the end, Muhammad Ali suffered greatly from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I mean, people don't want to admit that. Okay, I was around him. I know he did. I mean, there was no doubt about it. Yes, he had Parkinson's syndrome and things like that, and his hand shook. And I told you the secret about the Parkinson's medicine was when Muhammad Ali was shaking, he wasn't taking the Parkinson's medicine, but he was clear here. Between the ears, he knew what time it was. You hear what I'm saying? Everything he knew. I mean, he was sharp, sharp as a tack still. But when he took that Parkinson's medicine, it made him almost, it disorientated him. He didn't like it. So sometimes we would go places and he would like be shaking and he'd put his hands in his pockets and keep them in his pockets or try to hide his hands from people and this and that. But when he did that, he could speak decently. He could speak, not like the greatest orator of the 20th century like he was at one point in time, but he could speak, you know, pretty good, and he was able to transmit his thoughts from his brain to his mouth. And once he took that Parkinson's medicine, it was over. He was done. There was absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, it just was. And I could tell when he was taking it and he wasn't taking it, and he liked to go places when he wasn't taking it, but when people saw him shaking, it freaked people out. It just did. I mean, it's when they saw his hands shaking, people were like, you know, freak out. So he tried to put his hands in his pockets. He did everything he could. He did everything. I don't think he did, you know, like Foreman. At the end, Ali and Foreman, those two guys were two unique individuals. They did everything not only for their image, they did everything for people. I mean, George turned out to be a preacher. Ali turned out to be a preacher of sorts. Of course, both those guys fed the hungry people, no doubt about that. And somebody asked me the other day, of course, Don King voiced his sort of came out of a semi-retirement at the age of 92 or 90, I think it's 92, promoter Don King. Of course, he came out of retirement this week, basically, to issue something on the passing of George Foreman. Of course, he and George Foreman, yeah, I told you about Don King getting his ass kicked at the George Foreman-Joe Frazier fight right over there in Kingston, Jamaica. Yeah, the Muslims beat the spit out of him. When I say spit, I mean spit with an H. I mean, they just beat Don King's ass. I saw a picture of Don King the next day. He looked like he'd been run over by a car, not once but twice. You know, like the Suge Knight thing where you run over a guy the first time, then you back over him again to make sure you kill him? Yeah, good old Suge Knight. Nay, I told you, Suge Knight used to call me. And I would never answer the phone. Suge Knight was this guy with Death Row Records. Of course, he's in jail now. A lot of people think he had something to do with the killing of Tupac Shakur. I think he was in the same car with him in Las Vegas. Of course, I saw those guys that night at the Tyson-Bruce Seldon fight, I think, in Las Vegas, the MGM Grand. And later, he ended up dying. But anyway, Suge was trying to manage fighters at that point in time, so he gave me a business card, and he said to me, "Hey, Paige, give me a call." I said, okay. Anyway, he grabbed my business card. I gave him a business card because he asked me, "Do you have a card?" And, you know, can't tell the guy you don't have a card. Maybe I should have. But I gave him a card, so he was calling me this and that, and I was scared to death. I mean, I was like spitting my pants, spitting with an H when he called. I mean, Suge Knight. I mean, I don't want to pick up the phone because you know what Suge Knight did to that the Vanilla Ice, right? He hung that guy out the window by his foot. And if you don't sign a contract with me, I'm going to hang you like 20 stories above the ground by your foot, this and that. Just hang on to your foot. Anyway, bottom line is, I didn't want to mess around with Suge Knight. Suge Knight was a bit of an animal, no doubt about that. And, of course, at the end of the day, he's in jail. Like I said, he ran over a dude front ways, and that wasn't enough, so he backed over him again and killed him. Straight up Suge Knight, a piece of work, trying to get in the boxing world back around when Zab Judah was still campaigning. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, 52 and a half minutes past the hour.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Joe Frazier complimenting George Foreman after getting drilled by George not once but twice. Straight, of course, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's check in with our house historian, Frank1961 on Twitch.tv. March 23rd, 1979, Ernie Shavers knocked out Ken Norton. That was in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, Ken Norton, a guy that could give everybody hell, but he didn't do well against the hard punchers like Foreman and, of course, Ernie Shavers, straight up, that's Ken Norton's demise, the chin. It was March 23rd, 1986, Arturo Gatti, KO6, Wilson Rodriguez, that was in New York City. Of course, I think I was there for the IBF junior lightweight title. Of course, Gatti, a gutty performer, no doubt about that. I think he committed suicide. A lot of people accuse his wife of trying to kill him. I don't think she killed him. I think it was suicide. And March 24th, 1962, Emil Griffith and Benny Perrette. Of course, Benny Perrette would die a few days, 10 days after that 12th round KO. Of course, he would die in the hospital. It was referee Ruby Goldstein's last fight. Of course, he freaked out on that one. A guy dying in the ring, no doubt about that. And of course, former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson in 1995, March 25th, 1995. 19, that's right. 28 years old, is released from the Indiana Youth Center after spending 3 years of a 6-year prison sentence for the rape of a beauty pageant contestant by the name of Desiree Washington. Now, let me tell you about Desiree. Desiree was a pretty good-looking girl, so Mike Tyson calls Desiree on the phone and says, hey, come over to my room. So she says, okay. So he sends a limo over to her place. Limo brings her up to the house, brings her back to the hotel. Tyson answers the door in his underwear. Briefs, right? Underwear. So anyway, they get hot and heavy on the bed. They're rolling around, a lot of foreplay, this kind of good stuff. So she decides she has to get up and go to the bathroom. She goes into the men's room, the ladies' room, whatever it is, the bathroom, and the hotel room there, and she takes off her panty shield. Now, the panty shield is the only thing, she says she's on her period a little bit, so she takes off the panty shield, and she sets it on the sink board. Now, when she set the panty shield on the sink board, the only reason what she was doing, she was obstructing anything that would have prevented her from having sex. So she goes out. Mike Tyson gets rough on her, and she says that he committed oral sodomy, a couple other things she didn't dig, but the bottom line is she left there disgruntled. She called the cops. The rest is history. Mike Tyson spent 3 years. Listen, the judges, the lawyers in Mike Tyson's case, he had a tax attorney representing him, okay? Bad news, no doubt about that. Don King set him up with a horrible attorney. But at the end of the day, that panty show should have been enough reasonable doubt. You know, the fact that she came up there, the guy's naked, the guy's got an erection, the whole nine yards. I mean, she's like looking at this thing, and she ain't running. So, bottom line is, I didn't think she got raped. She said she got raped. That's a matter of conjecture at my point. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, I don't think it happened. Of course, Mike Tyson would spend 3 years for that. Unjustly, in my mind. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, providing the impeccable one can put it together. We will have Barry Unboxing, British Barry Unboxing. The British Boxing Hair will be here. That's right, Barry will be here in just a little bit. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let me stop stuttering and get my act together during the news. Straight up, hour number two of Ring Talk after the news.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. Sad news out of the boxing world as two-time heavyweight champion George Foreman passed away at the age of 76. Foreman won an Olympic gold medal in 1968 and was a Hall of Fame boxer. The latest news around the league in the NFL includes Jameis Winston, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, announcing that he's agreed to a deal with the New York Giants. Winston and the organization agreed to a two-year, $8 million deal. The second round in the NCAA women's basketball tournament is almost set. Michigan will face off Notre Dame after Michigan defeated Iowa State 80-74. Notre Dame wins over SFA 106-54. Louisville and TCU will go head-to-head. Louisville defeated Nebraska 63-58. TCU got a W against FDU 73-51. Ohio State advances the second round after they defeated Montana State 71-51. They face off against Tennessee, who defeated South Florida 101-66. Other games on the NCAA women's basketball slate for March Madness include Oregon and Duke set to battle it out. South Carolina will take on Indiana. UCLA will play against Richmond. Ole Miss looks to get a W against Baylor. And Kentucky will battle it out against Kansas State. To stay up to date on all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram. And visit our website, sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your sports shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. We are in the thick of weekend number one of the NCAA basketball tournament, the biggest sports betting party of the year. While there's a majority of people that'll just fill out brackets for contests, there are still a ton of people that bet the point spreads of the nearly 70 games played in the tournament, not to mention the secondary tournaments like the NIT. From the NFL kickoff in September to the conclusion of March Madness in early April, these are the 7 months sportsbooks see their biggest handles of cash. When sports betting became legal back in 2018, two clear leaders emerged from the pack and have 77% of the legal market split between them, DraftKings and FanDuel. In third place is BetMGM with 7%, Fanatics with 5%, Caesars with 4%, and ESPN Bet, formerly Barstool Sports, with just 2.3% of the sports betting market. And that is the big shocker on the surface. ESPN, the current or former worldwide leader in sports television, depending on who you ask, can't get out of the batter's box. ESPN Bet started way too late, less than a year and a half ago, as sports bettors have firmly planted their roots at either DraftKings or FanDuel. Ironically, those two platforms handed ESPN Bet and parent Disney the shovel to dig their grave, with ESPN taking their advertising dollars to promote them tirelessly from the start. Other reasons for lack of ESPN Bet's growth range from losing Barstool fans upon ESPN's purchase of that brand to the network's political stances, which alienated at least half of their market. Penn National, who partnered with Barstool Sports in their venture before teaming with ESPN, has an opt-out clause with ESPN in 2026. Penn National has watched their stock decline by a third on the scoreboard over the last year and a half, and the bet here is that next year they'll decide to punt. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best? What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is the one, the only, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Get this, I've been knocking out bums for 4 decades. That's right, 4 decades, 40 years, knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a 4-time Golden Gloves champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So guess what? I have a unique perspective on the sport of boxing. But guess what? I'm not stealing the pay-per-views. I'm not. I'm going to let my friends do it. But the bottom line is, no, I'm kidding. You're buying the pay-per-views. Evidently, a million people bought the Tyson Fury-Oleg Usyk pay-per-view. Evidently, pay-per-view is like the boxing future. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Prime did a card last night with Sebastian Vidora. That was free. But the bottom line is, everybody's looking at pay-per-view cards. So the pay-per-view future, is it there? I don't think so. Bringing Barry on boxing. Of course, the British boxing hair will be here. Barry on boxing in just a couple of minutes here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we are acknowledging the passing of George Foreman, the former 2-time world heavyweight champ. Of course, the guy that... He helped me out so much in my career, I couldn't believe it. I mean, a couple of times, that first interview we did back in April 30th, 1989, I played that in hour number one, but maybe I'll play it again. It was only last 2 minutes, but the bottom line is, that interview put me on the map. It just did that, and the boxing trade papers put me on the map. I think without the interview, I would have never been the worldwide attraction that I was. I'm just kidding. What I'm trying to say is, I don't think I could have been to 34 countries. That sort of set things off. It was like a wick on a firecracker. You know what I mean? You light the wick on the firecracker, and the firecracker burns, and you don't know if it's going to explode or something like that. But the bottom line is, that was the beginning of my wick doing that fight down there in Galveston, Texas. A beautiful place. I think I even had to share a hotel room with Hugh Malega. That's how low I was on the totem pole, folks, as I was sharing hotel rooms back in 1989. But no longer after that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It's on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. And, of course, we are live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. I got lots of stuff in the chat room. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk. Barry's in the house. You can join us again on the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the impeccable one, Bailey Peck. Is my producer, and he takes it away. Take it away, Bailey.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So, what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Those are the boys from Glasgow, Scotland, the Average White Band, AWB. My boy Alan Gorey, of course, and the crew retired November 20th, 2024. Of course, their history. Of course, now, and Brent Carter, the lead singer for the Average White Man, before that, Tower of Power, I met him back in the 1990s. Of course, we hooked it up and been all over the world together. But bottom line is now, Brent Carter is one of the lead singers of the Commodores. So we went from like the average white man to the Kamalas, and that's a step up as far as money's concerned. And I guess what? I mean, I didn't want to go into it, but the bottom line is he's making a lot more money now than he was then. Speaking of money, time to bring in the money, man. I'm talking about big Barry Hearn, of course, our British boxing hero. And Barry, first question I got to ask you, man, was that seven-hour card a couple weeks ago. Were you up at the – it started at 7:30 Pacific time. It ended at 5:30 Pacific time. That's like 9 or 10 or like 11 hours, almost 10 hours. Did you stay up for the whole thing?
I think I missed the first hour. I did 8:30.
Lucky you.
Yeah, it was enough, yeah.
I mean, but won't they realize that that's – I mean, I thought that was non-productive.
Yeah, it's a little long-winded, isn't it? They could break it up into two or three nights, I think.
But it was non-productive. In other words, it was torturous to sit there for that. You can't torture somebody and make them sit in front of a boxing screen for 7 hours. This is too much.
It's lucky I'd had a late night the night before, so I was quite happy to lay on the couch all day, so it worked for me.
Yeah, okay. Part of mine is, I guess, Virgil Ortiz stole the show, huh?
I'd say so, yeah. I think his performance was kind of surprising, so I thought he was going to lose. So.
Okay, yeah. And as far as the main event was concerned, Dmitry Bivol, of course, beating Artur Bitaev. Bitaev is admitting 40 years of age. He might be even older because, you know, those Russian guys, they lie through their teeth as far as age because they don't have to prove their age. I mean, I've told you that before. The Russians, the Colombians, and the Cubans are the worst, and now the Venezuelans are doing it. The Colombians used to do it as well. But the bottom line is they lie about their age. So, I mean, I played high school soccer with a guy that broke my hand. He kicked the ball so hard he broke my hand. His name was Jose Carcamo, right? We're in the ninth grade. This guy's been shaving for 2.5 years. You know what I'm saying? He's got hair under his arms. Under his arms. You could braid it. It's so long. You know what I'm saying? He was a man.
Yeah, there's always at least one of those at school, isn't there? Yeah.
There was like one or two.
Yeah, David Hall was mine. He's like a farmer's kid, so he was a big, strong kid at 15, 14.
Yeah, but do you think they were lying about his age?
No. He was just built like a tank for
these
a kid.
Guys were lying about his age. Yeah. All right, so give Bivol a grade, Dmitry Bivol, now the undisputed light heavyweight champion. Give him a grade overall.
Fantastic fighter. I think an A, without a doubt, yeah. I think he's proven to be one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time.
He has
the numbers and the names at this point.
Let me look up the great light heavyweights of all time, but why do you say that? Why?
He's had a run of defenses against fairly dull opposition. He kept his cool and kept winning, and then he got the big name with Canelo, and then he's taken on Beterbiev, and I think he drew the first one, won the second one. He also beat Zerto. Zerto's always been a bit overrated, but he's gone up to cruiserweight and done well. So
Zerto couldn't lick a stamp you wet his tongue in real life, man. Come on. I can't figure out the Zerto thing. I can't figure it out. Is Zerto like, are all his guys' fights fixed or what? I mean, he goes, Zerto's like, I
never understood why he wasn't a bigger star, being Mexican and a big guy and a champion, and they never really got behind him.
No,
they?
You know, I pushed him. I remember I mentioned him to Francisco Valcarcel when he was running the WBO, and he wrinkled his nose like the guy stunk.
Really?
Okay.
He doesn't excite me too much, but he's a pretty solid fighter.
Okay, but the bottom line is, you really think that Dmitry Bivol is one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time?
I think at this point, yeah, he's a couple of wins away from getting up there. I wasn't too impressed with his run of title defenses. He was looking good, but it was a bit dull. But
okay, let's go with what BoxRec has the rated right now. Archie Moore is number one according to BoxRec. 186 wins, 23 losses, 10 defeats. Did I tell you about the time he wanted to beat me up?
I didn't know.
He wanted to kick my ass.
Yeah, he did. He's a character.
In Richmond, California. And one time he was going to kick my ass, another time he was going to kick Bob Foster's ass.
But yeah, that's an interesting matchup.
In Richmond, California, I had a two-minute window. I'm doing a pay-per-view special, a pay-per-view commercial for George Foreman and Evander Holyfield. Okay. So I have a two-minute block. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm doing a TV show, and I have a two-minute block. So in other words, in 2 minutes, they're going to cut the signal. No matter what it is, it's being cut. Okay?
Yep.
So anyway, I explained this to George. I said, we only got 2 minutes. I said, we're going to do a minute and 15, a minute to 20 with you, and then I'll finish up with about 30 seconds with Archie Moore. He said, okay, this and that. Well, George bogarted the interview. Okay? He went off, and he bogarted the interview, this and that. So I think I was down to like 18 seconds left, and I wasn't going to give it to Archie Moore with 18 seconds left. You know what I'm saying? So I apologized to Archie Moore. I said, we didn't have time to fit in Archie Moore. He took it as a front. He took it as an insult. As soon as the camera went dead, he got in my face. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, MF, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, whoa! Yeah. And you got some 77-year-old man in front of you, right? And he's nutty.
He can still fight.
And he can probably still fight a little bit. Probably still punch a little bit. I mean, and I've got a microphone.
I got
a microphone. So anyway, that was the Archie Moore situation there in Richmond, California, and that was in 1991. And then I think 1 year later, we were in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and I said I was with Bob Foster. Bob Foster and I were kicking it. Bob used to like beer. Bob was a beer guy. Did. Bob liked his beers. Okay. In fact, he told me, when I was training, you know, that super middleweight, I could have made 168 easy, but I had to drink a beer every night, a couple of beers every night in order to keep my weight. You didn't have to drink a couple of beers every night to keep your weight, blood.
He's about 6'3 as well. 6'3, so he was huge. Like everywhere, yeah.
So anyway, so I said, Bob, I said, you know, Archie Moore's in the other room. He goes, yeah, he goes, that mother ducker couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. Said, no, a tennis racket. He goes, I said, a tennis racket? He goes, yeah, go tell him.
Right,
went and told him.
Okay.
Biggest mistake I ever made. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life as far as a journalist.
What year was this?
92.
92.
So anyway, International Boxing Hall of Fame. So I go in the other room and I tell Archie Moore, I said, you know, Bob Foster said you could hit him in the ass with a ping pong paddle. Said, and then he said, no, not a ping pong paddle, a tennis racket. In other words, you got a tennis racket, you couldn't hit him, right?
Yeah.
So Archie said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. And then I don't realize what's going on because I'm in my own little world. And Archie starts taking off his clothes. I mean, he took off his coat first. I was still not thinking about it. Took off his tie. When he started taking off his cufflinks, I figured that something was amiss.
Serious.
Yeah. Something was amiss. And I didn't know how to get out of it. I mean, how do you get out? Because I'm telling the truth.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying? I go, oh, Archie. I go, no, I think he took this a little too. I was just kidding. He goes, I'll go kill that mother ducker right now. I said, So anyway, those are my two encounters with Archie Moore. Archie Moore didn't play, man.
No, he was a real character as well. He didn't play, man.
I mean,
smart guy too.
And of course, I sort of got hip to his training methods where he would chew on meat and eat the juice and spit it out.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I think I did that for a little bit there. Thinking it worked. It didn't work. Just denied me the beef, man. That's all.
Where's
the beef? I mean, when you're, because when you're boxing.
You're torturing yourself.
I don't know if I told you this, but my mother used to make me Kool-Aid ice cubes.
Okay.
Yeah, you know why?
No.
I'm drying out and I can't eat for a day. You know what I'm saying? I can't eat or drink nothing for a day, right?
Yeah.
She used to make me these Kool-Aid. She can make these.
Sounds like fun.
They were the Kool-Aid ice cubes were cool.
Yeah,
it was like a reward, man. I was like, oh God,
right.
It was dripping off your face. Oh yeah, the sugar, the whole nine yards, dripping off your face. You know, of course. And I remember one time I went. I think I went 18 hours. I went 18 hours without eating. And I think I didn't drink any water.
See, the water would kill me.
So here's what's up. So I think I committed to 136 pounds for a fight.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? 139 was the junior welterweight limit. I committed to 136 because I wanted to fight this dude. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I ended up beating his ass, but the bottom line is that wasn't, that probably was. I thought it was a con job. I thought them getting me to, being an old guy, I was almost 30. I thought them getting me down to 136 was a con job, you know what I'm saying? But I still wanted to beat this dude so bad, and the only one they wanted to fight was so I went to 136 because he was a 32 pounder.
So he was coming out,
so I met him at 36. Beat him up pretty good, though, but. Yeah, that was mom's ice cubes pulled me through that. My mom was amazing. Mom took me running. You know, I remember mom. She was a psychological major. She didn't go to school, but she was a psych major because she psyched me out all the time. I remember one time I told her, I said, I'm not running this morning. I ain't running. I don't feel like, oh man, screw that. You know, the guy's a bum, blah, 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 talking all kinds of smack. So she goes like this to me. She's okay. She goes, but you know, he's running doubles for you. And she slammed the door. So I'm licking, kicking back in bed, this and that, right?
She
about 30,
you.
40 seconds later, boom, you hear all this noise in the room. That's me getting dressed. Because she's right. He is running doubles for me. As much smack as I talked before those gold glove tournaments, those guys are running doubles and triples. They wanted to, you know,
she knew how to get you going.
Yeah, but that. You know, how can I put this? I sound like a mama's boy, and I probably was to an extent. But without mom, I don't think I could ever. You know, I don't think I would ever materialize anything. I mean, my father was a loser. He was a drunk and a loser. I had a heroin problem the whole night. I mean, he was not society's number one guy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he went to jail as a kid for marijuana, and that was a bad beef. But what it did was it put him in the California Youth Authority, which was like prison for a kid when he was 16 years old back in the 50s. And it sort of hardened him to an extent. And then he got out and he became a painter. And the painting thing didn't work because they were using lacquer and lead paint back then.
Okay.
So they would inhale the lacquer and the lead
and
ended up to brain damage and the whole nine yards. All these painters ended up getting brain damage. They couldn't figure out why. They were all dying off, but that's what it
often.
Was.
Yeah.
The lacquer and the lead. So anyway, the old man, when he passed away in 1981, just before I went on the police department, he got run over by a bus. On 7th and Mission here in the city near the Greyhound Terminal.
Wow.
He was with my brother and my sister, and he put them on the bus, and the bus driver closed the door and then dragged them
dragged his arm.
I've had the same thing. My arm's stuck in a door. The guy drove. Yeah, on Hate Street.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. So anyway, he dies, and that was an unfortunate ending for him to go, for anybody to go that way. I mean, that was a bit of a shock, and my sisters and them were freaked out. I don't think my sister ever recovered from that. Psychologically, I don't think she ever recovered from it. But you know what? At the end of the day, I learned one thing from him. Don't be like him.
Okay.
That's
fair enough. Worked.
You have to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, I look at the other side of the family. I don't want to dog the other side of the family, man, but they're a bunch of adults. I didn't say adults. I said adults. You're tuned to Rink Talk.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8-count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
Who can forget the championship fight between Joe Frazier and George Foreman? Of course, took place in Kingston, Jamaica. I told you how Don King got his ass kicked by the Muslims over there. Beat the spit out of Don King. I mean, spit with an H. He was all busted up. His face was busted up. Bottom line, I got mugged. Yeah, right, you got mugged. No, they kicked your ass over there was some business deal that went down. They didn't like it, and they kicked his ass. It wasn't Ali's Muslims, I'm told, but they were Muslims. Anyway, it's time to play. Barry Rabbits is here. Of course, he is the British boxing hero, I call him. Of course, no doubt about that. British boxing hair, Barry Rabbits, the kind of good stuff, all ties together. So we're going to play name game back and forth. And name game is, I'll send a name to him, and he'll go off for a little bit, and then he'll send a name to me, and I'll go off for a little bit. Bottom line is, I'll get to start with this one. Let's talk about the recently deceased Colin Hart, the great boxing journalist from the UK.
Yeah, the Sun newspaper. Worked for a trashy newspaper, but a great great journalist.
You know, over the years, I got to write for him. I told you I was writing the boxing trade papers, and he would, like, I'd see him at Feist, he'd tell me, hey, it was really good, it was really good. He was a big reader, so it was really cool being admired by other writers. You know what I'm saying? I could have been writing for a newspaper. I wouldn't have got this kind of attention by boxing journalists, per se. So Colin Hart was a supporter. He told me, Pedro, you write stuff in that rag that I couldn't get away with. Okay? And right, he wrote for the Sun. Yeah. I said, talking about rags.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a, yeah.
One of the great boxing writers of all time. Okay, your turn.
Ooh, geez.
Come on, man.
Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury, former world heavyweight champion, the Gypsy King, this and that. Is he still a traveler? Do they travel around still in buses and that kind of good stuff?
I don't think so, but they still live in caravans sometimes.
That's some weird spit with an H when you live in a bus. When you got millions of bucks and you live in a bus, right?
Yeah, I think his lifestyle hasn't changed much at all, despite all the money.
All the money, but I never thought he was psychologically right. And I always thought he was a little aloof. In other words, he was mentally off.
He's kind of up and down, isn't he? He's got that manic, kind of a depressive state, and then he gets hyper, and so he's up and down, all over the place, I think.
Roberto Duran.
Wow. Greatest of all time, arguably. Fantastic fighter. Still going, isn't he? He's still showing up in Saudi. So.
What do you think his greatest moment was, beating Ray Leonard the first time?
I think it's got to be. I mean, his whole lightweight reign was fantastic as well, but coming back and beating Barkley as well. But
Davey Moore
as well, Cuevas. But you got to say
I was
Leonard
at the Cuevas fight. I was at the Barkley fight. I saw a lot of his fights at the end. I saw him fight Marvin Hagler. He was holding his own with Marvin. He got tired against Marvin. Of course, after 12 rounds, a couple of judges had him off. I think he lost by two points, and 1 point in the final scorecards, which was a lot more close than I thought it was being there live.
Right. You know what I mean?
Although after the first and second round, me and one of Roberto's co-managers, I won't mention him in time, but we looked at each other like, we're going, because, you know, after two rounds, we thought he'd be dead.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We thought he'd be dead. And there he was, and he's giving Marvin problems, and he goes, Marvin wanted to.
So I think he's probably got credit for just getting by a little bit, didn't he? Because Hagler was probably winning more rounds than it. You know,
but I will say this about Hagler that night. Hagler never complimented anybody ever to me. You know what he told me? Duran. Guy's got a sneaky right hand. That's the closest Marvin Hagler ever came to compliment anybody.
Yeah, like I think we mentioned before. I think Hagler was a little bit intimidated by Duran in a different way to when he fought Leonard or Hearns or Mugabe. Or I think Duran kind of freaked him out a little bit.
Okay, Hagler had to outpunch Mugabe, the harder puncher. He had to outpunch Mugabe. Had to outbox Ray Leonard. That's what I attribute that to psychological flaws. In Marvin Hagler, he had to beat somebody at their own game instead of beating them at what he was good at.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see that. And I think he kind of was a bit stubborn and didn't want to adjust when it wasn't working. Like with the Leonard fight, he's getting outboxed and
and the corner kept telling him, Marv, keep doing what you're doing, Marv. And I'm there ringside, I'm saying to myself, I don't think so.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you give away four, listen, and you know, two guys I didn't talk smack to, Marvin Hagler and Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Everybody else, I would abuse them almost. I mean, I had no borders. You know what I'm saying? But Mike Tyson, Marvin Hagler. So when I had to explain that Marvin Hagler lost to Ray Leonard 7 rounds to 5, I had to do it eloquently. You know what I'm saying?
I bet.
So I said to him, I said, Marv, I said, you know, you said this is controversial. I said, not really all that controversial. I said, you gave away 4 of the first 5 rounds. Yeah. I said, when you gave away 4 of the first 5 rounds, all Ray had to do was quote steal 3 unquote after the 4th round.
Exactly.
All he had to do was steal 3 down the stretch, and I think he did it. And you know what? That was the only time that he sort of like... that made sense to him. You know what I'm saying? That made sense to him. But if I said to him, you know, you blew the fight, Baba, you got your ass whooped, and you tried to outpunch Mugabe, because he outpunched Hearns. That was a big thing. He wanted to knock out Hearns, right?
Yeah.
So he knocked out Hearns. And Hearns was a big knockout puncher coming in until Hagler hit him. He broke his hand and Hagler hit him, okay? So he knocked him out. He had to beat everybody at their own game, which was a flaw.
I think the Mugabe fight took everything out of Hagler, to be honest with you. I don't think he wanted to fight after that. You could tell. I mean, the Hearns fight was short.
You know what he said in the ring? I was there ringside, and they're cutting off his gloves. And I think he said, do I have it? Do I still have it? Or did I lose it? Or have I lost it or something like that?
Okay.
And you know, he's cutting off the gloves. And I couldn't. I mean, I remember the moment, the whole 9 yards. I'm sitting there. I'm writing on my hand, I think, basically. he had doubts that he'd even, you know, I mean, he stopped him. He stopped Mugabe, but he was doubting his performance right then and there.
Yeah, and you could see he was off. He was slow. He was getting caught. Mugabe was sharp that night, and Hagler was kind of swinging for the fences, wasn't he, in the early rounds? He got it down late in the fight. But,
you know, I watched Hagler go with Rodan, Hampshire, Mugabe, Leonard, Hearns. He was quite the entertainer, man. I mean, Marvin Hagler was quite the champion he was. I mean, he didn't give the greatest interviews in the world and this and that. He wasn't the friendliest guy, but, you know.
He kind of reminds me of Crawford in that way. He just.
Yeah, he also reminds me a little bit. I think he wanted to be a little bit of George Foreman, the first version of George Foreman, just be a brute. No,
intimidate you.
Don't look at me.
And
then I was privy enough to spend some time with him in Johnny Taco's ringside gym in Las Vegas, because Taco, that's where he trained exclusively for all the Vegas fights the last couple of weeks, right? So I would get in there, and he would look at me, and then he'd look at Johnny Taco, and Taco would, you know, that he's got the blessing, you know what I'm saying?
So I got
to watch all of Marvin's training for, like, every one of those fights in Vegas. I was there 2-3 days a week, I mean, the week of the fight and the week before the fight, to watch him train, and that was amazing. I mean, one time he hit the sparring partner so hard, can I say it on the air? He spit in his pants.
Okay, nice.
Spit with an H.
Yeah.
And how do I know it? I smelled it.
Oh, nice.
Of course, sort of like George Foreman did that Mike Tyson did that with Henry Tillman, Alex Stewart. Alex Stewart, I was in Atlantic City, and everybody's going like this ringside.
Really?
We're shaking their. I said, what is that fuzz? What that filthy smell? And they're going, Alex Stewart spit his pants.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting hit in the body by one of these guys, Foreman or Tyson or.
No, but he spit his pants before. I mean, this guy at least got hit. But this guy, you know, I mean, he Alex Stewart. Before the fight, released in the ring there. You know?
Everybody was
walking around like,
yeah.
What's going on here? But the bottom line is, okay, now, whose turn? Yours or mine?
Mine, I think.
Go.
Let's go for Michael Spinks then.
Michael Spinks, former light heavyweight champion, 1976 Olympic gold medalist, along with his brother Leon Spinks, of course, out of St. Louis, Missouri. East St. Louis, which is a rough part of town. Roughest place I've ever been in my life. Out of San Francisco at night. Outside of San Francisco at night in the Tenderloin. But I thought his accomplishments at light heavy were almost unparalleled. I think he did a lot at light heavyweight. But he wasn't a guy. He fought my guy, Oscar Rivadeneira, who was from Peru. And he was like number one at that time for the WBA. And he was a partner of mine. And he was a gym mate and this and that. And I watched Spinks fight a lot of different guys. But when he fought Mike Tyson, I thought he quit like a dog. I thought he was scared to death.
I think he was. And he was at the end of
Butch Lewis
career,
went over to Mike Tyson's dressing room, right? So Butch Lewis was Michael Spinks' manager and his promoter and this and that. So you know what Mike Tyson did? He punched a hole in the wall.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Whoa!
The big delay.
All of a sudden, you're looking outside. You can see outside.
Yeah.
He punched through a wall.
I remember watching that as a teenager, kind of waiting at 4 a.m. and the big delay and
It took Mike Tyson 2 seconds longer to make a liar out of Carlos Truth Williams than it did to make a believer out of Michael Spinks. 91 seconds versus 93.
Right. I think the interesting thing with Spinks was when he went up to face Holmes, if you watch those fights, Spinks was the puncher in those fights.
Did you think he won the Holmes fight?
If I remember rightly, I think he won the first one and the second one was real close. I scored them both fairly recently.
See, the first one I was there. It was hysterical. I went down to Las Vegas and it was a last minute thing and they booked me on a gay tour. I'm not bullshit. So they booked me on a gay. I went into this gay hotel and the guy's basically got a dress on me on the counter. How are you? And then I'm from San Francisco, Barry. You know what I'm saying? I'm from San Francisco. Listen, you can't travel the world. Like when I told those girls in Las Vegas, I was a Mary Cone, which means queer in Spanish. And I didn't know because my Spanish was so weak, this and that. But no, you can't get out of it. Once you commit yourself that, you're done. Anyway, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Believe it or not, of course, the top 10 light heavyweights, according to BoxRec.com, are Archie Moore, Roy Jones Jr., Tommy Gibbons, the aforementioned Dimitri Bivol, the current champion, Tommy Loughlin, Jimmy Bivens, Billy Kahn, number 8, Harold Johnson, number 9, Michael Spinks, and number 10, a guy by the name of Jack Dillon. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with the boxing hair, the British boxing hair, Barry Rabbits, right after the break.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
George Kambosos, former lightweight champion, 435 pounds, a man that beat Teofimo Lopez when Lopez was hotter than a firecracker. Of course, he was a winner yesterday over David Yordan. Of course, that took place down under on the zone. Of course, earlier this week, earlier yesterday, Sebastian Fedora beat Troydell Booker, which was expected for the WBC and WBO Super Welterweight titles. Fedora, 6'5", 154 pounds, a freak if there ever was one, no doubt about that. Of course, last week, Nick Ball won, of course, against TJ Doe. I mean, that was a battle of, I think it was a battle of Liverpool, of course, battle of the city that the Beatles came from. Now, looking up the schedule, Richard Torres Jr., the most unheralded, I mean, he's a heavyweight of note. I think he was an Olympian for the United States, isn't it? He doesn't impress me whatsoever. I mean, I wouldn't walk across the street. It's like Neil Diamond one time. They asked me, hey, Pedro, you want to go see Neil Diamond? I said, I won't walk across the street to see Neil Diamond. And I didn't. And I wouldn't walk across the street to see Richard Torres. Am I getting on Richard too much? He's taking on Guido Vianello, who supposedly can fight.
I think he's kind of an interesting fighter. I haven't watched his recent stuff, but he
can't punch.
He reminds me of Marciano. He's got a raw boned kind of.
I wasn't ready fights. For that one.
He's got the same crude kind of. But I think he might surprise a few people.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to become champion. I don't think he's big enough. He's not a very big guy, is he?
Okay. Speaking of big guys, Terrence Crawford, I think he's got a hell of a shot with. With Canelo Alvarez, I don't think size matters here. I really don't. I think the skills are going to matter. I think that basically they're both going to be filled out. I think that Crawford will fill out about 165 pounds. I think, I don't know if that's too heavy for him to campaign at, you know what I'm saying? But I think he'll fill out. In other words, you weigh in and probably weigh about in the 50s and come in maybe in the light 60s and this and that.
And he'll be fighting at a natural weight, his natural weight, and that's what he fights at naturally. And Canelo, of course, is fighting in a weight that's 15 pounds, probably heavier than his normal weight should be. So he's been a lazy guy to an extent. He could make 54 to want to do it, make 60 to want to do it. Now he's fighting at 168. He's not even fighting the number one contender. How did they let him get away with that for 3.5 years?
Yeah, no, it's kind of criminal, really, wasn't it? Yeah, it was going on too long. So it was blatant as well, wasn't it? So
there's no media. You know, I talked earlier about the media, about Colin Hart and me and Wally Matthews and this. And we had power. We had juice. We'd write something and people took note of it. You know what I'm saying? There's no media anymore.
No, there isn't. Just a lot of...
Can you imagine? None of the New York papers have a boxing writer.
Yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me.
They don't cover boxing.
The sport is changing, yeah.
I mean, wait, the New York Times had Phil Berger. I didn't like Phil Berger, but he had Phil Berger. Newsday had Wally Matthews. New York Post had Michael Marley, the menace. And then at New York Daily News was Michael Dog and Cats.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, those times have gone, haven't they?
There's no media.
Bunch of kids with microphones now.
What?
Bunch of kids with microphones who have no
idea
of the
history. That's basically what it is now. And I try to tell people that, and they don't get it. You know what I mean? When I won the North American Boxing Writer of the Year Award, there were boxing writers back then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like, I remember thinking it was 20 of us that were nominated in a couple of few years in a row there. And, there were real boxing writers. It was a real media. And when we said something I remember as a group, sometimes we'd get together at a fight in Las Vegas, right? And we'd be all in the press room and somebody would stand up and say something. And we all get behind that, or we didn't.
Yeah.
Or there was quiet in the room when I remember a couple times Marley got up and said something and didn't go over too well. There was a lot of quiet in the room. You were expecting like a standing ovation, and so you didn't get that. But the media meant something back then, of course. And now we don't have the media as far as the world of government and politics. I think that's gone.
Yeah, no, it's kind of, I don't know what's going on.
The Fifth Estate, is that what they used to call the journalism?
Yeah, I think so.
The Fifth Estate is closed.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I don't know where we're headed, but okay. Boxing's definitely changed.
Okay. Should I get excited about Ryan Garcia coming back and making 147 pounds to fight? He says he'll fight Gervonta Davis at 147. I know you're a big Ryan Garcia fan, so.
I find it hard to get excited about the guy. Who's he fighting next? It's
Rolly Romero.
Rolly, so I think he'll probably knock Rolly out.
He's getting $20 million for that.
See, it's criminal. I don't know what's going on anymore.
No, but if he draws the people... If he draws the people, he you think it's criminal, but if he draws the people to the thing, they're not giving him $20 million and losing $20 million.
No. But honestly, who has he fought? I think I said this before. Luke Campbell is the best fighter he's fought. Gervonta is the best fighter, but he got knocked out. Luke Campbell at the end of his career.
I'm glad you brought up Gervonta Davis. I thought he got beat by Lamont Roach. I thought it was a 2-point fight. I thought that he won by a couple of points. And of course, in that ninth round, when he took a knee, I think the referee, Willis or whatever his name was, Steve Willis, something like that, he pulled a Harvey Dock trying to do something for the black guy, helping the guy out there. I think it was no doubt. I know they were both black, but the bottom line is he helped the brother out. Because when you take a knee, you can't deny what happened.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
the athletic commission said, well, we didn't have our instant replay. What you didn't need any. You could have asked the TV provider to go over and looked at their screen if you wanted to, because they were showing it.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely took a knee. Yeah, we all saw it, didn't we? But I think he got confused in the...
I think he got buzzed.
You think he got buzzed?
I think he got buzzed into the dive.
I think he was something in his eye or something, didn't he?
Oh, you know
he
what?
He didn't go down as if it was a punch.
Huh?
He didn't go down as if it was a punch. He went down as if something affected his eye.
But he went down.
Yeah, that's the main
thing. But that's all that counts. Whether he went down to say hello to his girlfriend or propose or whatever it was, he took the knee.
Floyd went down in the fight where he hurt his hand. That was about the only knockdown,
wasn't it? Did they take a point from him?
I think they did. Yeah, he went down because he basically broken his hand, but he went down. So you gotta take the point, haven't you?
Okay, so Crawford and Canelo, that's not a mismatch in your mind, or it is?
I don't think it's a mismatch, but I don't know that Crawford's going to be able to hurt Canelo. I don't know that.
Why would you say that when the guy has fought such a hand-picked opposition, and the bottom line is he hasn't been in good shape in a long time? I mean, he hasn't. I mean, Canelo's had a gut the last couple of fights, right?
Yeah,
fought Munguia, you know, I wasn't real impressed with that one.
Who's the English guy? John Ryder?
Yeah, John.
He looked really sloppy in
that
one.
Yeah, whoa.
I don't think he's going to look sloppy for this one. I think this is going to be like... Yeah.
Like Ali and Frazier.
How's Terrence going to move with that extra weight? I don't, you know what I mean? He's going
to
be
I don't think he has to. I think he's got the skills to stand in front of him and box him.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't write him off.
The reason why I say that is I used to kick the out of bigger guys in the gym.
Yeah.
I used to light them up, man. I mean, light them up. Now, in fights, when I move up, that's what gave me the nuts and the balls to move up to welterweight. Beating those welterweights around here, those guys from the farms and stuff like down there in San Joaquin Valley, beating all those hobos, saying to myself, I'm a welterweight now. Until I fought in the Nationals, and I weighed in 142, he weighed in 147. We come fight time, Ernie Chavez was 165.
I
weighed 145. You know what I'm saying? The 20-pound weight disparity, it mattered. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that was the hardest I've ever been hit in my life. I've been hit with a flashlight. Some guy, we were rolling around on 3rd Street as a cop, and those steel flashlights the cops have, one of them rolled away, and some blood grabbed and hit me in the head. That was nothing like getting hit by Ernie Chavez.
Because
I saw the flashlight coming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Ernie Chavez hit me with those right hooks out of the southpaw stance. Remember my right hit me on the left ear, and my right ear was hurting. You know why my right ear was hurting? It was on the canvas. And I'm saying to myself, what's wrong with my ear?
I'm freaking out.
I couldn't figure it out, man. What's wrong with my ear? And then my captain's going,
get up.
Yeah, I didn't know what you said. What are you guys talking about? Because I'd never been separated from my senses before.
Right.
And that was the first and the last time. And that was an experience.
So how do you think Crawford's going to take Canelo's punch? I mean, Canelo's not a big puncher, but he's pretty solid. So
I think his punching power is overrated. I think it always has been overrated. I think Canelo's been one of the most overrated protective fighters in a long time. I mean, listen, they wouldn't go – they ran for Benavidez for 3.5 years, okay?
I think it's all about timing with him. He's been picking the right fighters at the right time. Kovalev, Golovkin, he pushed till the end, didn't he? And lost both those fights, I think. But I just think it's a big jump in weight for a guy that started at lightweight.
You know, but he was one of those guys that was a welterweight that starved himself down to 135.
Yeah, but I look at his frame, and he's just not a big-built guy. I mean, Jermell Charlo is a bigger built guy.
But according to Tommy D, when that's my shot caller on Sunday, he says that Crawford is bigger than he thought.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he stands about 5'10", almost, doesn't he?
I think he's about 5'8", isn't he?
5'8"?
5'8", 5'9", at the moment.
And what's Canelo,
but his physical frame, his shoulders, and he's slight. Canelo's a tank, so we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
So you want to bet a little money on that one?
No, I don't really. I'm not really sure what's going to happen. It's going to
the impeccable one. Like he's taking odds in the other room.
He is. Oh,
yeah, okay. He's a bookman.
Normally, I get a feel for a fight.
It's my bookmaker.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's
you want to place a bet? Call Baby back.
Okay.
Don't tell him I sent you.
Oh, okay.
Tell him I sent you. He'll give you a deal.
Yeah.
Extra 3 points against you.
Okay.
Wait. You all right? Favored by 5 points. 8. Anyway, he's a sharp dude, no doubt about that. Now, as far as the state of boxing is concerned, the heavyweight division, Oleg Usyk is the heavyweight champion of the world. Why can't I get excited about that?
I don't know. He's a great craftsman, I think. He's not the most exciting fighter, but he knows what he's doing. And the way he's handling those big guys is kind of, I think, is pretty amazing.
It is, but there's something... Maybe I demand too much. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm asking for too much, but I want some...
Knockouts?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know,
I mean, he got Dubois out of there, didn't he? But
let's see if he can do that a second time.
Yeah, no, that will be an interesting rematch.
That's probably the match we want to see, right?
I think that's what Usyk wants, too. I think he wants that fight, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't run from anyone, that guy. Well, he fights abroad all the time.
Martin Barcoli, a couple of months ago, you and I were high on him, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not high on him anymore. When he showed up at 315 pounds, whatever it was, and took that dive fight for 800 grand.
Yeah,
800 grand. All he got was 800 grand. He sold his soul for 800 grand to the Saudis. If I'd have told that Saudi guy, no, you give me $5 million and you send me my own private jet.
Right.
I would have come up with something like that, and the Turkey guy might have done it.
Drop in the ocean for those guys.
But the blood was too dumb to do something like that. 800 grand?
Yeah. We'll see. He's coming back pretty soon, isn't he?
They're trying to say he's coming back really soon, but I think the IBF has eliminated that title elimination fight or something like that. He lost.
Who was it they were planning to put him in with? I forgot.
I don't know, but he lost.
He lost big time.
Yeah, I mean, he lost, so you can't say he's
a gamble,
same.
Wasn't it?
You can't. Yeah. I don't think it was a gamble. I think he just bought his. They bought his soul.
Yeah, I think he tried to win. I think, can you imagine getting off the plane the night before the fight?
The guy I give the credit to, though, is Josh Pauly, who stepped in at the last minute against Shakur Stevenson.
Oh, yeah. He was gutsy, wasn't he?
He had the biggest stones in the entire world. He was 135 pounds with like 190-pound nuts. I mean,
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he just was, man. He was outgunned. He was outskilled the whole nine yards, and he was game about it until they stopped the fight. Thank goodness they stopped the fight. But the bottom line is, Shakur,
Shakur looked good against a guy that was a last-minute substitute and a guy that isn't thought of all that much on the world stage. Did he look good because of the opposition, or did he look good because of Shakur?
I don't think he even looked that great, to be honest with you. Okay. I think Shakur's kind of stuck in the mud at the moment, isn't he? He's kind of being avoided, and he's kind of lost all the steam he had, so... For me,
you know, but you know, I still go back to the fact when he kicked that girl in the YouTube film. You saw that one, right?
I did at the gas station.
He kicked that girl at the gas station, this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't forgive that, man.
Yeah, no, that
you
was
can't
definitely
kick a girl
shady,
when
isn't it?
You, yeah. Listen, I never hit a dude when he was down. The impeccable one, when he fights, he don't hit nobody when they're down.
He's a good man.
Especially
good man.
Kicking a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
It's not
a girl.
The done thing, is it?
Huh?
It's not the done thing, is it?
No, but you know, people seem to gloss over that. Of course, and he went from Newark, New Jersey. I think that's where his hometown is to Oklahoma or Argentina or Alabama, some stuff like that. Tennessee knows. They got him out in the middle of sticks because they don't want him getting killed.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like a likable enough kid to me, so I don't see a, you know.
Likeable is one thing, lovable is another. I mean, I think you want to get enamored with your boxing champions. In other words, you really want to get into their heart and soul and this and that. And Shakur just doesn't.
His style doesn't really kind of, yeah, yeah.
No, but Eddie Croft, who's a trainer out of B Street Boxing in San Mateo, California, of course, he fought Barrera and Morales.
Yeah, yeah.
He told me that Shakur is definitely the best out of all these guys, out of Garcia, out of Gervonta Davis, out of all these guys, he's far better. But he said that he doesn't want to engage because of the fact he's got tender hands.
Okay, okay.
And he doesn't want to risk it. He doesn't want to get risky.
It's interesting that none of these big punching guys will fight him, despite the fact that he's not a big puncher. There's obviously something there. They respect him. So.
No doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 53, make it 54 minutes past the hour. We'll finish up with Barry on Boxing right after this.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, Sadly, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Playing Taps. Yesterday, they had the celebration of life for Matthew Jimenez. Of course, a childhood friend of mine that grew up. We were together in the Mission District. He lived off Cortland Avenue on Coleridge. I think we even lived in the same building at one point in time, the Bobby Antonelli building. Of course, rented rooms or apartments from his mother, Rose Antonelli. Anyway, he passed away a couple of weeks ago. He had some meth problems originally, and then, of course, evidently he died from fentanyl poisoning. So the bottom line is, man, I'm trying to tell you is that everybody I know that takes fentanyl ends up dying. It's not something where you like have a second or a third chance. It's the end up dying. So the bottom line is, Matthew, may you rest in peace. Of course, also want to mention the fact that my cousin Armando passed away a fortnight ago. Of course, Armando, I told you about that one. One time the homicide police of the SFPD came to my house and wanted to arrest me for a murder I had nothing to do with, right? They got into a fight. Some guy died, this and that. They thought I was Armando. They came to the house. My mother tells them, that's not him. Thank God he didn't go out that night, or I'd never be a San Francisco policeman. No doubt about it. And of course, and George Foreman. George Foreman passed away at the age of 76 Friday night in his native Houston, Texas. We wish him the very best. His family, his brother Roy, they're all class acts. They all treated me good. And I'll never forget what Roy said about that grill. George made $145 million off that grill. And Roy said to me, Pedro, it's just a piece of metal with a cord on it. That's all it was. Anyway, Barry Unboxing, reflections of George Foreman?
What a fantastic fighter. One of the best heavyweights of all time and two great careers.
Two great careers, and of course, the second career was the turnaround. I mean, I've told you, it's a metamorphosis. He was the meanest guy in the entire world. I mean, he was a brute on a brute.
Yeah, yeah. Once you learn to put on a smile, it kind of changed everything, didn't it?
Okay. Real quick now, as far as the heavyweight championship is concerned, does Dubois have a shot if he gets a rematch with Oleg Usyk?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, a lot of people argue that he won the first one, but yeah, Usyk's going to be a tough nut to crack, I think.
Usyk's, not if you work to the body, though, huh?
That's true enough, yeah. That is his one, that little sweet spot there, isn't it?
Well, thank you so much for tuning in, of course, coming in today. And I want to thank Olivia's kid, Jose, as well, to introduce us, no doubt about that. Yeah, he's doing well. I saw him yesterday. He looks great, man.
Yeah, no, I've not seen him for a few weeks, but
I wish him the best, of course. And his mother told me, look after him for me. I told you about his mother, right? His mother got sick in the hospital. I went in there and I threatened the hospital administrator. She got COVID. So I went into his office. I closed the door. He goes, why are you closing the door? I goes, I don't want people to see what I'm about to do to you. He was like freaking out. I wanted to kill him. Anyway, bottom line is, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios, March 23rd, 2025. Barry Rabbits is my guest, of course, the British hero. We thank him. We thank the retired HBO Godfather, and we respect the passing of Mr. George Foreman. So next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. My man, the impeccable one, takes it away, Mr. Bailey Peck.